Band Success, now playing.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lurie. Well, coming up today, there's a big plan to expand toll roads here in Florida. And that's the first topic today on Radioactivity. We're going to talk with two members of the Sierra Club about their opposition to expanding toll roads here in the state of Florida. There is a plan for expanding and building three new toll roads on the west side of Florida. It was put on hold this week temporarily as Democrats demanded more details on the environmental impact. Senator Tom Lee of the Notice Asked Republican said the plan is not dead yet and that it's likely to eventually pass the Senate and become a conference issue when the House and Senate in Tallahassee hammer out the final budget. The proposal calls for spending $45 million next year and would establish task forces to study the economic and environmental impacts of extending the Suncoast Parkway from the Tampa Bay area north all the way to the Georgia border and extending the Florida Turnpike west from Wildwood to hook up with the Suncoast Parkway and building a new road directly linking Polk County south to Collier County. Critics have decried the potential for sprawl and negative environmental impacts by building the roads through mostly rural countryside. The plan, though, is backed by someone very powerful, State Senate President Bill Galvano, Bradenton, who says the roads will help rural communities, provide new hurricane evacuation routes, expand bicycle and pedestrian trails, and lay the groundwork for new water and sewer lines and broadband. Two people opposed to this idea of expanding toll roads here in Florida are Frank Jackalone and Tim Martin from the Sierra Club. And Frank and Jack, nice to see you guys. Thank you for coming by.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So in terms of all the environmental issues that you've looked at, Frank, and you've been there for a long time in the Sierra Club and up in Tallahassee, how does this rate as having, what kind of impact is this going to have on the environment?
I have been working for the Sierra Club in Florida for more than 21 years. This is the worst bill for the environment that I've seen going through the legislature that entire time. And why is that? It's because it would create such a nightmare in the middle of the state. It would just make the central part of the state and then our nature coast area all the way to the Georgia border turn it into a mirror image of South Florida with all that sprawl.
And Tim?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about hundreds of miles of new highways. I think it's the largest expansion of the highway system in Florida since the 50s. This is significant. And then, of course, it's not just the highways. We're talking about millions of acres that will be developed afterwards. This is happening very fast with very little attention, and it's frightening, the implications here.
Anytime you have a Senate president in favor of something, and Bill Galvano of Bradenton is in favor of this, there's a lot of power behind the Senate presidency, so this should not be taken lightly for people that are looking at this.
That's right. This bill has not been studied. It's the first time it's been introduced. He's rushing it through. Democrats in the Senate that we've talked to have said they think they need to vote for the bill. Otherwise, their pet projects and their bills will be killed by the Senate president. It passed 20-0 in the Senate Appropriations Committee. That's half of the senators. There are only 40 senators.
And there were some Democrats on that committee.
Yeah, Democrats on the committee all voted for it. We are starting to get some pushback and some Democrats that are starting to peel off now, and we think we'll have a better chance in the House. But what's happening here is they're rushing through a bill with a radical idea of completely transforming the state of Florida without proper study, without even giving the new governor, DeSantis, time to have his Department of Transportation study these complicated proposals. Or the Commissioner of Agriculture, Nikki Fried, who manages the rural lands in our state, she needs to take a look at it too. This is really a disaster that Galvano wants to use his power to mandate that will affect Florida for the next 50 years.
So I was reading from this newspaper article, that's how I started this show, they say that the Democrats were able to temporarily stop it. What's your take on that?
I think there's more going on than that. I think there are behind the scenes, there are different parties that are trying to tweak the bill and to come up with amendments. Linda Stewart, a Democrat from Orlando, is proposing to put three environmental groups on the panel that would implement this, including the Sierra Club. We really don't buy that because this bill should be killed. And then we saw an op-ed that Matt Caldwell, who used to be the House Republican in charge of environment and natural resources last year, he unsuccessfully ran for Commissioner of Agriculture. Caldwell wrote an op-ed saying this bill is not good because it creates a new highway instead of improving the existing roads in the area. Now, that was an important thing for him to say, that we need to study this more.
Well, we do already have US 19 that goes up alongside the Suncoast Parkway, and it goes all the way to the Georgia border.
And we have US 27 that goes down the center of the state through all of those communities.
And to
well.
Add, both 75 and 27 are slated for expansion to be widened.
But what would you say to people that say, well, if you're in Pinellas County and Pasco County and Citrus County, you're on the east side of those counties, east side Hernando, it would be nice to have a limited access highway going all the way to the Georgia border, so if we have a hurricane, they can get out quickly.
And that's probably what they said when they built I-4. Be nice to have a nice highway connecting Tampa with Orlando, and look what we've got now. Not only sprawl, but bumper-to-bumper traffic.
It's a parking lot almost.
That's right.
All hours of the day.
Right now, you've got that easy access highway. If you want to get up to Tallahassee or the Georgia border, you can do it easily on US 19.
US 19, I got to say, is a nice ride.
It's a nice ride.
Very nice ride.
You could do it on 27. 27, mm-hmm. which goes to the center of the state, south toward the Everglades. Also a nice ride. What these highways are doing is opening up that area to sprawl, connecting through all of the ranches and big property owners, north and south, and enabling them to sell to developers and bring millions of people into those areas, which you can't get to right now.
I want to ask you about that in a moment. We're talking about the proposed expansion of the tollway system here in the state of Florida. State Senator Bill Galvano of Bradenton wants to create three new major roads. Now, we're just at the beginning of the proposal, but the roads would be extending the Suncoast Parkway north from the kind of Citrus-Hernando area all the way to the Georgia border. It starts in Tampa right now, and also to connect the Florida Turnpike with the Suncoast Parkway, beginning at Wildwood, and then creating an entirely new road, Polk County to Collier County. These would all be toll roads, and you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. If you've got a question or a comment about this, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. You can also email us at dj@wmnf.org. So a few weeks ago, there was a report that the richest man in Florida owns land along one of the proposed routes. And Tim, do you know anything about this?
Yeah, he recently purchased, I think, 550,000 acres up in the Panhandle. So, you know, if you're trying to follow the money, that's one where you can look at, right? Because this road would go directly to that area, which ostensibly would be developed afterwards.
You guys both talked about sprawl, but isn't it true that the ridership numbers on all these toll roads is often less than what the projection is at the start? When somebody says there's a need for a road, it turns out there really wasn't a need for that road. They don't pay for themselves.
They don't pay for themselves, but that's that for the environment. That's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is that slowly but surely those roads open that area up to development, and then 20, 30 years from now, those roads will be packed, but so will the surrounding area with homes and subdivisions. It happens more slowly, right? It happens bit by bit.
And if I could expand on that, you can see what happened with the Suncoast One, which was built 20, 25 years ago. Yeah, with great opposition, but they still went through. You can actually lay down at the end of that Suncoast Parkway right now in the afternoon and take a short nap and not get hit by traffic. That road is underutilized. But what it's done, and especially in Pasco County, has opened up a lot of pressure to sprawl and development. We're actually fighting another issue over there with the Serenova Preserve, where land that was set aside for mitigation for the wetlands that were destroyed with the Suncoast construction is now under threat because the county commission there wants to open that up by building a road through that.
They want to build an east-west road through the Serenova Preserve.
Exactly. And, so it's relentless. One thing will lead to the next.
Again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. Frank Jackalone and Tim Martin from the Sierra Club are with us, and we're talking about the proposed expansion of a toll road system here in the state of Florida. Frank, isn't it true, though, that before they would get the okay to do any of this, they would have to do some studies and they would have to do environmental impact statements and all that? There's a bunch of hurdles before they would really build these hundreds of miles of roads.
Right, but they eliminate some of the hurdles by making it a toll road. So a toll road is designed to eliminate some of the federal permits, all right? They're trying to streamline this. They're trying to push it forward. I mean, the timeline for doing the work is really very, very rapid, all right? And they're going to be spending tens of million dollars the first 2 or 3 years, then hundreds of millions of dollars each year on bonding, right? So we're talking about billions just for bonding, and then the bonding will pay for tens of billions of dollars that these projects will cost. This is mammoth. We haven't really seen anything like this in the last, as Tim said, 50 years in Florida.
And you could point, look at the Suncoast, too, that was just constructed or is being constructed now. It's been a very quick construction project right through Citrus County. It bulldozed over a historic turpentine camp called Etna. It's abutting the Withlacoochee Forest, 55,000 acres. All that land gets fragmented once you build these roads. There's no chance for a wildlife quarter after that. I don't believe they're even building underpasses or such on that stretch there. So, this is happening very quickly.
All right. We're talking about a proposal to expand toll roads here in Florida. It's making its way through the state legislature right now, and it's got a good chance of passage because State Senate President Bill Galvano of Bradenton is really the guy behind it. Do we have any idea whether or not the road-building lobbyists are paying money to the politicians that support this idea of expanded toll roads?
Well, but building lobbyists pay money to politicians.
They are supporting the bill,
right? Yeah. We know they're supporting the bill. So you connect the dots. Yes, that's happening. I don't know. I can't tell you how much. I'm sure that after the bill passes, they're going to get a lot more money in return.
Tim, what would you say to folks that live in rural communities, though, in places, small towns like Venus? I don't know if it's going to pass near Venus, but these tiny little towns of a few hundred people, and they say, look, we want development. We want to see more tourists here. We want to see more hotels.
Is there a demand?
Are people in rural areas demanding this?
Well, if you look at the recent fight, I think last year or the year before, there was an idea to build a coastal connector through Marion County, and Marion County residents in the rural part of the county actually stood up and pressured their county commission to reject that plan. So I think people that live in these areas, they don't want a highway and sprawl to take over the way of life. They live in these historic small towns because they want that small town character and rural way of life.
All right. And also on US 27, which goes through Venus and other small towns, people are very much afraid that you build a highway parallel to it a few miles away, then development suddenly moves there and their towns become ghost towns.
I think that's sort of what happened to Mount Dora, there's a big road just to the west of Mount Dora. Mount Dora is still thriving, but it's not as thriving as it once was.
That's right. So that's what people are afraid of who actually live in those towns, except for the bankers and the developers and the chambers and the real estate agents who are just drooling over the amount of money that could be made if that land is developed.
All right, let's get our listeners in on this. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM, and Patty Perky and Frank Knox are our phone producers today. Let's go to Joe in St. Petersburg with our first phone call. Joe, thanks for calling in. You're on with Tim Martin and Frank Jackalone.
All right, thank you for letting me give an opinion here regarding these building of roads. Years ago, when I was a kid, I had a real good friend whose father, being a politician, and during the building of the I-95, was part of those people that were privy to where all the exits and cloverleafs would be prior, and made fortune out of being able to get out ahead of the crowd and buy up the land from those unsuspecting people that own the land along the way. Mm. I would suggest that if you guys want to get down on it, you ought to find out just where all those clover leaves and intersections will be, and find out maybe who has sold land to who. And that's my comment.
All right, Joe, thanks a lot. You guys want to comment about that?
Sure, we'll do that if the bill passes and if Governor DeSantis signs it into law. Then we're going to have a very long battle that will be intersection over intersection, permit by permit. And we'll do all that research. But right now, this is moving very quickly. We're talking about a bill passing in the next week or two and then going quickly to the governor for signature.
And on that note, you know, we have some time that we can still stop this, so we are really pushing everybody to make some calls. We desperately need you to call your state senator and your House representative. This will be heard on Tuesday in the state Senate for a final vote, so you still have time this weekend and Monday to make that call, and then the House will likely take it up the week after. So please make those calls. They make a difference.
Let's take some more phone calls right here at WMNF in Tampa. Frank Jackalone and Tim Martin are our guests, and we're talking about a proposal to expand greatly the toll road system here in the state of Florida, especially on the west side of Florida. Let's go to Kevin, who's in Pasco County. Kevin, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, how are you guys? It's been a passionate issue for me. I'm a hunter, fisherman, a very moderate Democrat, but I've lived here since 73. My dad moved us here when he got back from 30 years in the service. And I've lived in West Pasco since we drove cattle down State Road 54. Mm. We used to have orange trucks and groves throughout Pasco County. But we have to be realistic about the development that wasn't planned and that blossomed in the late 60s, early 70s, and the late 80s, and dealing with what we have now. We have to deal with having an east-west corridor to get to the interstate, to get to 41. We have to have moderate understanding that we need to have north and south egress. I evacuated for the last hurricane on Thursday. It didn't hit till Monday, and I went up 41 in the middle of the night to Lake City to get on the interstate because I knew that was the only way, as a redneck who knew the back roads, I knew that was the only way I wasn't going to sit in traffic on 75. And I got out, and when I got to the border in Georgia, for 2 miles south of each rest stop, 2 miles north of each rest stop, people were camped out. We have to understand that we need to be able to evacuate. Now, I understand that I don't want an 8-lane expressway or toll road running through Bronson, Melrose, Lake City. I don't want that. What I need is I need an east-west corridor to get me from 19 to 41 to the toll road, to get me up to 19 up in Weekiwachee, to get me up at 19 at Crystal River to red level. I need those things. I don't need that running through the middle of the national forest just north of red level. I don't need to be going through Gothy on a 4-lane or an 8-lane express toll road. We have to have an understanding that it's a give and take. We have to deal with the people that are here now and what's been done. You look over in North Orlando with the 429 extension and all of that stuff, you know, they're building roads because the urban sprawl, they're 15 years behind with the roads there, yes. But here on the West Coast, we're 30 years behind.
All right. And Kevin, let me just get it straight. Do you want to build that road, that east-west road through the Sierra Nova Preserve?
Unfortunately, when you live here and you understand what's going on in the local community, yes, it has to happen.
All right.
They're going to build Bexley from 54 through 8,000 acres up to 52. There's 350,000 home sites under construction on 54 from 54 north to 52 at this time right now. Where are those people going to try and evacuate?
All right, Kevin, thanks a lot.
They're not going to be able to get out on 41. They're not going to be able to get on
52.
Kevin, thank you for making your statement. Great to hear from you. All right, so let's get the view right now from the Sierra Club, from Tim Martin and Frank Jackalone. What would you say back to Kevin?
Well, you know, I spent a lot of time working in Pasco, and we've organized the Save Our Sierra Nova coalition there for about the last 2 years. They've been meeting monthly, and I have to dispute the caller on that one point about the east-west corridor. Excuse me. 52 and 54 are adequate for east-west transportation right now. During Hurricane Irma, we actually took time-lapse photography along one of those, 52 or 54, and it was dead for most of the evacuation period. To the caller's other point, though, the north, the northbound route. So, yes, there was issues on I-75, and we're just talking about one of the three highways that are being proposed that might address this issue. But there are current plans to expand I-75. And also, you know, this plan to build these new highways is very costly. It's going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars, over $100 million a year. In the end, it might add up to over a billion. And that's money that's taken away from other things that, you know, we could budget for. Excuse me. For example, hardening up our infrastructure here locally so that we have shelters. I think something like only 40% of schools in our area are hurricane grade, meaning that they can serve as shelters. So I would say let's better spend that money so that not so many people have to evacuate and we have places for them to stay here. Frank, what do you think?
I think this road is not being built. These roads are not being built for hurricane evacuation. The roads that are in this toll road bill would cost $10 million a mile, right? You got to follow the money. The reason why they're being built is because they're developers and other financial interests who want to use those roads to bring millions of people into rural areas that can't be serviced right now. So which comes first, the chicken or the egg? First you need the roads, then you bring the subdivisions in. Exactly. And that's what the problem is here. We're talking about a plan to add at least 20 million people to the state of Florida, doubling our population. They need roads in rural areas to make that happen. And this comes first before that kind of expansion of population.
You know, and this goes against all, you know, principles of smart growth, which is what we adhere to. I mean, we want, you know, to sustain a periphery, sustain rural areas, agricultural areas, environmental areas, and instead, you know, satisfy the growing demand for housing in cities and to build up, not to build out.
Do we have a greenbelt system in the state of Florida like they do in Oregon, where communities, you know, you're supposed to have a heavily developed downtown and central city area, but then surrounding the, under the greenbelt concept, surrounding the town, you try to preserve rural areas?
I don't think so, but, you know, we eliminated growth management in the state of Florida when Rick Scott became governor. So we had something called the Department of Community Affairs. The first thing that Rick Scott did when he became governor was eliminate that and replace it with the Department of Economic Opportunity, which started to work on these corridors that you're seeing. But Rick Scott, in 8 years, couldn't finish the job. He couldn't finish the job because there were too many problems with these road corridors that he was designing. And Bill Galvano comes in and he says, hey, we're going to do it in a flash with the bill that I'm going to put forward in the legislature.
So if we're creating housing projects, that suburban housing developments that have 1,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 homes, we're just creating it, and it's near the water, we're creating an evacuation problem just by doing that.
That's right. So the more people you bring in, the worse it's going to be to evacuate, right? I mean, you just build a road and you put people there, and now that becomes gridlock. Plus, if you're building north of a city and you're putting a new road in there, those people are going to be working in Tampa. They're going to come down to Tampa, or they're going to be going off to Orlando. They're going to go to the big city centers, and you're going to have more gridlock than ever before.
So where would you put the people? If you don't put them in the suburbs up in Pasco County or over in Polk County, where do you put them?
Have you been to St. Pete lately?
I have.
All right. If you go into St. Pete, you see where we're putting the people. We are building condos and apartment buildings all over the place. Beautiful urban renewal going on in cities like St. Petersburg. That's smart growth. You need transportation there, and then walkable and livable communities as well.
Okay, I buy that, but what do you do in a hurricane? Did folks have to evacuate St. Petersburg during Irma?
Most people do not have to evacuate during a hurricane. and not have to go hundreds of miles.
If the apartment or condo is built to code?
We have to build them to code. We have to have evacuation areas safely. The city and the state doesn't want most people to go on the road to evacuate during a hurricane.
Because that created the problem that we saw during
Irma. That creates a bigger problem, yes.
It's dangerous, too.
Well, yes. Tim Martin and Frank Giacalone are here. They're with the Sierra Club. We started off this conversation talking about this proposal to build three major new toll roads through the western part of Florida. One would extend the Suncoast Parkway north all the way to the Georgia border. The other would connect the Florida Turnpike west over to that Suncoast Parkway. And the third would be an entirely new road connecting Polk County to Collier County. The issue is being debated right now in Tallahassee. Senate President Bill Galvano of Bradenton is backing it, so it is likely to get passage at least this year.
In the Senate.
And we're going to take some more phone calls. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF in Tampa. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to go to Dennis in Tampa. Dennis, what would you like to say?
Gentlemen, just an aside before I get to my point. Did they turn some five-year-old loose with an Etch-a-Sketch to design what's happening in downtown Orlando right now? I'm just wondering, just as an aside, being one of the gentlemen just took me aback. You said that there are projections that are supposed to put this state at 40 million people. Did I hear that correctly?
That's right.
By what year?
By around 2060.
At that point, they should build a wall between Georgia and Florida because this state will be done.
Well, they're going to be using all the concrete to put a wall around the peninsula to stop the sea level from coming in.
I will now get to my opinion that toll roads are the biggest scam floated on the American public. It would probably make Trump blush.
Why do you say that, Dennis? Why do you say they're a scam?
Maybe 20 million driving cars and paying tax on the gas that they use in their cars to build roads in the state, and then we're going to get charged to drive on them? That's rich. I got to tell you, you can't really write this stuff for a comedy sketch, if you ask me. They are taking the American public for a bunch of fools, and we're going right along with it. And if you people out there don't like it, don't call your congressman or state senator. Vote them out. Thank you, gentlemen.
You both.
Thanks, Dennis. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Earth Day is coming up on Monday, and you, Frank, you said that the toll roads were the most significant environmental issue that you've dealt with in your 20 or so years up there in Tallahassee.
Well, it's the worst bill that I've seen.
Yeah.
There are other significant issues. So let me mention there are two other crises in Florida. One is climate change, and I just refer to that. But climate change is happening slowly but surely, and it's making things worse for Floridians. The weather is warmer, seas are starting to rise. We are going to have it really, really bad in Florida over the next few decades because of climate change. Number two is harmful algae blooms, red tide, blue-green algae that are contaminating virtually all of our waters in the state of Florida because of pollution runoff. The more people you bring in, the worse that problem becomes.
At the start of that, some of the news reports that we saw, the politicians were saying, well, we don't know what causes red tide. We don't know what causes this blue-green algae. But you're saying fertilizer. You're saying runoff from fertilizer is the cause.
They're saying that that red tide is a natural organism. It is. But the blooms are fed by nutrients. They become a lot bigger and a lot more harmful when you start feeding them nitrogen and phosphorus from fertilizer, from sewage, from animal manure that all washes away into the Gulf of Mexico or the Atlantic or stays in our lakes, in our streams or our springs. You know, that's what happens. So this crisis is really bad, but I do want to, before we go, I want to talk about a silver lining here. There on Earth Day, there is one very, very good thing that's happening, and that is city leaders around the state are acknowledging that climate change is a problem for us and that the solution is clean energy, renewable energy. We now have 7 cities in Florida that have committed to 100% renewable energy anytime between 2035 and 2050. And St. Pete just came up with their initial plan to do that, and they're saying they're going to make the city of St. Petersburg completely renewable by the year 2035. That's fantastic. That matches what Chicago just pledged to do as well. The mayor of Tampa, right, Bob Buckhorn, has resisted doing anything about this. But this morning, Jane Castor, who is ahead in the polls for mayor, people are going to be voting tomorrow, on Tuesday, Jane Castor said that she pledged that she will bring Tampa to 100% clean energy, that she will push that as a priority as mayor.
By what year?
She didn't give a year yet. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've got to talk about a year. But that was a very strong step forward from where we've been, and we can see the whole Tampa Bay area making that kind of commitment in the near future.
I was going to let you guys go after this first half hour, but we got every line lit. And I don't dare not pick up some of these phone lines because everybody wants to talk. Linda writes this email. She says, "No, no, no to the Serra Nova Preserve. No one has answered me since I've lived here since 1981 why State Road 52 has not been multi-laned as Highway 54 was done years ago." And I think she goes on to say that State Road 52 must be multi-laned.
I encourage her to, on Facebook, look at the Save Our Serra Nova page and get involved. We have a group that meets monthly. She could find out more about the issue and help us fight back. The county there has been indicating recently that state agency objections are being dropped and that the Army Corps is set to give a permit, which they've been pending for over 20 years, later this year. So we need people to get engaged really quickly and to help donate, because we're gonna fight this one in court.
How can they find you?
To Save Our Serra Nova Facebook page is probably the best way.
All right. We're going to go back to the phones. By the way, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Let's go to Doug in Clearwater. Doug, what would you like to say about this?
Good morning, Robin, and welcome back.
Sure.
You really scared the hell out of us. Tim and Frank, I enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you.
And you guys have touched on it rightly, but I'm a native Florida and born and raised here, and actually I did take that Suncoast highway last year when I went up to New Orleans. And it was kind of weird, and you're right, not a whole lot of traffic on there coming or going, and when went and left at different times, and it just seemed like a big boondoggle to me. I was like, why did they do this again? Mm-hmm. Then the more I read about it, I was like, oh, okay, I see. Somebody's in somebody's pocket here in the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. And I said, keep voting Republican. You know, if you want things to stay like this, keep voting Republican. If you want to get worse, keep voting Republican. But the one thing that when I left here many, many years ago, I said, well, you know what? What we really need, and I knew this about 20, 30 years ago, we need a train running right down 19 all the way from up north back to Newport Rich down to St. Petersburg, and it'd be right in the middle of 19, and it would be so freaking awesome. And I said, I bet that's what's going to happen when I come back. And 20 years later, I come back and more roads and more roads. And I lived in Washington, D.C. and Chicago. And when you build a road, it doesn't eliminate, when you do mass transit, it doesn't eliminate the cars. It's no threat whatsoever. As a matter of fact, it doesn't get any better. People are going to keep coming here, and we're not even setting up or preparing for it. And when you're talking about evacuation routes, doesn't it make sense to have some trains running east, west, north, south, and, to help with that? And that's all I got. I'll listen to you guys.
All right, Doug, thanks a lot.
And I don't know if you've heard about this, Frank, but I was on a Florida DOT call. They invited environmental leaders, and Frank asked me to join representing Sierra Club, and they were talking then about some vague plans for building a train route that would connect Tampa up to the Panhandle. I haven't heard anything since, and it didn't sound like they were far along in that plan, but it was mentioned. Of course, I don't see that happening, especially in this context now, but yeah.
Well, that would be much preferable.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So here's an email from Richard. Richard says, since 2006, more than 200,000 houses have been built in the Brandon, Riverview, and Valrico area. Mm-hmm. Each home has an average of 2 cars. However, There's also not been any corresponding road development, as also the powers that be continuously promoting the continuation of parceling out of land to developers, contrary to the interests of the average man who cannot afford to purchase a home for his family. That's Richard who says Riverview, Brandon, and Valrico are overbuilt.
Right. Yeah. So we're inching forward from the west toward the east into Brandon and other places. Yes, the sprawl is taking place. We try to fight it. It's happening on a slower scale than would take place if they built these other two roads. They built the Parkland, the Heartland Parkway, for example, from Lakeland all the way to Naples. All right, that would be maybe another 75 miles to the east of Brandon and Bradenton. And that road then becomes the connector for sprawl to start go east and west from there. And you can see very rapidly then everything connecting and it being solid wall-to-wall houses and subdivisions between Bradenton and Brandon, all the way maybe to the Atlantic coast. I mean, it's just, it will open that all those ranches and farmland in the middle of the state, that will open it up to development. And then you just connect everything.
And I just, you know, want to ask listeners to think to themselves, what do they think that means for our wildlife? We haven't discussed that yet, but the southern highway that we're talking about, the Heartland Parkway, goes through the Everglades. It goes through prime panther habitat. I don't think that panther would have a chance if that road gets built and sprawl ensues after that. In the north, you know, there's dozens of wildlife management areas, preserves, reserves that are in this area, the proposed area. What does that mean for the future of a wildlife corridor? We've been talking a lot about that here the last few years. How are we going to continue that when we have sprawl and development in those areas?
And it raises the question, why would people even want to come to Florida? We come to Florida because of the natural beauty, but if you're paving it over and it's gone...
You know, Florida is a global biodiversity hotspot. There's over 1,800 endemic species in this state. That means species found nowhere else but Florida. And over 85% of our habitat's already been lost. It's beautiful here. People don't get out in nature enough and realize it sometimes. And I think part of that, my girlfriend says a lot to me, is that we have this generational amnesia where a lot of people are new to the area or people aren't necessarily born and raised here, like maybe some of us are, and they haven't seen what's been lost already. And they think, oh, what's just a little bit more, you know? But so much has already been gone. 85% of habitat's already been lost. We can't afford to lose more.
That's Tim Martin. Frank Jackalone is here. They're both with the Sierra Club, and you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks. We're getting donations online, too. We want to thank... A woman who's in New York City who just made a large donation to WMNF. Thank you very much for that. Helping us stay on the air. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Carlos in Tampa, who's been holding for a while. Carlos, you're on. What's your comment?
Yeah, thank you, sir. Since we are talking about clean energy, any updates regarding the offshore drilling? There was a lot of talk about it last year, maybe last 2 years. Since then, personally, I have not heard anything going on.
Yes, there are a couple of things going on. First, the Trump administration is providing permits for companies with these sonic blasters to sweep the Atlantic Ocean to the east of Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas, Virginia, Delaware, Maryland, all the way up to New Jersey. So they're going to be sweeping, looking for oil, right? We are fighting those permits in court. Then second thing that's happening is that in the Gulf of Mexico, the oil industry is eyeing the eastern Gulf of Mexico because they want to take a chunk of the eastern Gulf of Mexico and start drilling there closer to Florida. And there's a lot of smokescreen going on here because, you know, people are saying, oh, we're not going to drill off Florida, but they're not defining what that means. Where is off Florida? Is it the 9 miles off of Florida coast that the voters in Florida said you can't drill because that's state waters? Is it 25 miles out, 125, or currently 225 miles from Tampa Bay? You cannot drill. We think they're going to try to move 100 miles closer. And that's what Trump and President Trump is going to try to do. And then that's going to leave some of our politicians flat-footed because they're going to be on the spot to say, is that off Florida or not? Does that put Florida at risk? It's clearly what the oil industry wants to do. I hear radio ads, not on this station, but on other radio stations, from the oil industry saying that we need to increase oil. They are targeting the Tampa Bay market, and they're targeting the state of Florida. They are trying to build up momentum for drilling closer to Florida to say, oh, we need it for energy. But we don't.
And President Trump's new Interior Secretary is a former oil and gas lobbyist.
That's right. Yeah. He is.
Let's take some more phone calls. This is Carlos. Thanks a lot. Thanks for that comment. Let's go to Tom and Lutz. Tom, you're on. What would you like to say?
Oh, so much to talk about. But first, let's address something that Kevin was talking about the Ridge Road extension being a needed hurricane evacuation route. The existing section of Ridge Road currently floods during heavy rains and has been closed numerous times because of its flooding. So that alone in itself keeps it from being a viable hurricane evacuation route, besides the fact that it goes absolutely nowhere. The road's nowhere. It doesn't take you to any hurricane evacuation shelters. It doesn't take you anywhere but to another road you would then have to take north or south to get out of town. It's never going to work as that. It's for other reasons, which we won't discuss at this time. As far as the Suncoast Parkway goes, the Suncoast Parkway never met its requirement of ridership that would pay its bonds, and the state had a requirement that had to be done within 22 years, and when it was clear that they weren't going to do that, the state changed the law. Because the main funding mechanism for toll roads right now is the Florida Turnpike, the main line, they call it. They're using the toll monies from that to help pay for these toll roads that don't pay for themselves.
All right. Tom, thanks a lot. Thanks for your comments. Let me read this email that came in. This is from David. He says, thanks for bringing the guests on today. Could your guests talk a little bit about the huge communities that General Development Corporation and the Rosen Brothers built around Florida, such as in Northport, Deltona, and Port Charlotte? I think that these communities are environmental disasters waiting to happen as the septic tank systems under the houses fail. And as some of these communities eventually get built out, also these places are ugly as hell. Why would someone live in such a place? All right, so are the General Development Corporation and Rosen Brothers developments in Northport, Deltona, and Port Charlotte all based on septic tanks? Do you know anything about this?
I don't.
Okay,
no,
all right. David, thanks for that.
I will just mention to the first caller, though, that that portion of the Serenova Preserve where they want to build the extension, it would take 28 to 33 acres of wetlands that it would reclaim if they build a road there. And it's the nicest part of that preserve. I've hiked right through there. It's just a gem of a spot, and it would be tragic if we lost it.
Joe in Tarpon Springs writes, I feel the cure for the algae blooms is twofold. Number one is to restore the flow from Lake Okeechobee into the Everglades. Number two, make sure Big Sugar stops polluting. The east and west drainage of Lake Okeechobee is part of the problem. What is the new plan about building a new reservoir, and do you think the reservoir is the right next move?
Not the way it's designed. So I think there are a lot of misconceptions about how important that is. It is important to move water from Lake Okeechobee south to the Everglades instead of down the estuaries. Okay, so yes, that needs to be done. To do it, you need to be able to clean the water so that it can then go on south to Everglades National Park.
Building a reservoir doesn't clean the water that goes into Lake Okeechobee.
That's right. So it's 20, you're talking about a reservoir that's 23 feet high, not part of the natural landscape. When this was originally proposed, we were talking about a 6 feet high reservoir with stormwater treatment areas around it. So the water would be stored, then cleaned in the stormwater treatment areas, and then moved south. Now they don't even have the land that they need for stormwater treatment. So they're just going to put a lot of water in this giant reservoir and hope that it structurally has a structural integrity not to crack. And to flood the surrounding area during a storm or something else. I think it's poorly designed. The 90% of the pollution that goes into Lake Okeechobee is not from the Sugar Lands. It comes from north. So that is true.
The Orlando watershed?
That's right. The Orlando, plus all the farms east and west as well. So you've got a lot of sources of pollution. You need to move the water south to the Everglades to treat it. That's true. But if we're ever going to solve this problem, we have to stop pollution at the source. We have to find ways to treat water on site in these farms, residentially, to get people to stop using fertilizers during the rainy season. we have to have a full-scale attack on the on pollution if we're going to stop red tide and blue-green algae. That's more important than the Everglades Reservoir.
Does every community here in the Tampa Bay area stop tell its citizens to stop lawn fertilizing in the summertime in the rainy season?
We have now more than 100 cities and counties through Florida, most of them in from Tampa Bay down.
Any significant holdouts that you'd like to point out?
Hillsborough County has been a bit of a holdout. We're looking to get a stronger ordinance there. Orlando and Orange County, and we now think that Orlando this year will pass a strong fertilizer ordinance.
And that'll help Lake Okeechobee somewhat. Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking with two of the local leading environmentalists, Tim Martin and Frank Jackalone from the Sierra Club, and we start off this conversation talking about the proposed expansion of toll roads. Tim, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to expand just one thought of what Frank just said. You know, the governor got a lot of kudos for mentioning money toward Everglades restoration, and surely some of that is merited. But you know, he's backing this reservoir plan, which as Frank pointed out, is a flawed plan. And I think right before the end of the Rick Scott administration, the original and Frank, you can comment on this. The original reservoir property was actually the lease was renewed, so that was it the sugar industry that's holding on to it. So they couldn't actually use the preferred land for the reservoir because at the last minute he renewed the lease and made it unavailable for the state to actually build a reservoir.
So the plan that the reservoir plan is the plan that Big Sugar wanted. All right. Nobody's really saying that. It was a compromise that Big Sugar said yes. In fact, when that bill passed that created the reservoir, the press conference was held in Clewiston with all the sugar farmers standing around applauding the bill. That tells you something.
Let's go to Jessica, who's in Brandon. Jessica, thanks for calling in. You're on the air with Tim and Frank.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I was just calling. If I want to make a call to my senator, does the bill have an actual name that I can reference when I'm making that phone call?
Yes, that's a great question. So we should be saying that more often to this call. Senate Bill 7068, when you call your senators, House Bill 7113, and they're both known collectively as the Transportation Corridors Bills.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. Really appreciate that.
All right, thanks for calling. And this is WMNF in Tampa. Let's go back to the phones with Mike in Asheville. Mike, what's your question?
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Good.
Well, my question is, if your experts were going to suggest a place for me to invest in cheap land and I wanted to make a big, fat profit, where should I buy that land? Aha. And is there a map online, I haven't heard you say this, where I can view the proposed construction of the highways? I see stories, but no map.
Okay, so Defenders of Wildlife in Florida has a map online, and it's an interactive map that shows you where all of the natural areas that would be impacted by those two road corridors are. I don't have a URL that I can give you, though. It's a long URL. Look for Defenders of Wildlife Transportation Corridor Map. Try to search for it.
I will, but surely you realize there's a lot of people who want to literally see this as opposed to talking about it.
Well, so, you know, keep in mind also that the route is not specifically planned. So we just have a vague kind of general idea where each of these highways might go. And so what the defenders did with others is put together a map using ArcGIS to put all these different overlays that would show, you know, all the different resources that are impacted in that general area.
Well, I will go there. But, I mean, you were talking about it as if you knew where an established route was being taken. I'm sure I'm not in favor of it, but you need to get your facts together, too.
Well, it doesn't really... See, the thing is, if you know the general vicinity where it is, all right, the road is one problem, but the bigger problem is all the sprawl that will generate out 10, 20 miles from the road or more on either side, all right? So that whole zone is the problem, and we know where that zone is.
I get it, but I think you're wrong. The general Floridian does not know... aren't map buffs.
All right. Well, Mike, we got it. Mike, thanks a lot. I'm just going to say something. Mike, thanks a lot. So we're talking about, and we started this conversation with discussing proposed toll roads that Senate President Bill Galvano would like to see One connecting Polk County to Collier County. You can just go on a map and draw a line from connecting Polk to Collier and figure out generally where that road would go. That's called the Heartland Expressway. Is that right, Frank?
That's right. And then Heartland Parkway.
Heartland Parkway, I'm sorry. And then the other proposal is to expand the existing Suncoast Parkway, which stops right now in about Citrus County.
It's the Citrus County border in the thriving metropolis of Lecanto, population 2,400, I think.
I've been there. I got my dog there. And so you take the Suncoast Parkway, and the proposal is to expand it all the way north to the Georgia border, which would be maybe 100, 150 miles, 200 miles, something like that. And then also take the Florida Turnpike, which now ends at Wildwood, and then connect it to the west, Lecanto, where the Suncoast Parkway is. So that's generally where it's going to go. You probably just draw a line on a map.
And that's the best anyone knows at this point, too. So to the caller's point, we don't know because the bill's architects are more specific than that.
One of our earlier callers is calling back. His name is Kevin. Mike, thanks a lot. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Kevin in Pasco County. Kevin, you're on. You were the guy that objected. You want that roadway through the Serra Nova Preserve, right?
Well, I'm a realist. I understand everybody's concerns. I am a naturalist. As I said before, I'm a hunter. I'm a fisherman. I've grown up here. I've lived here since 73. But the last proposal was to make 54 a two-level expressway, like the Crosstown Expressway, as far as evacuation routes. We have to understand that we have a population here now. And as far as East-West Expressway over State Road 54, you know, that's not a viable option. Just connecting Ridge Road to the Suncoast Parkway, or the Veterans, whichever you would like to call it, that's going to be a Band-Aid. What we all really need to understand is what we don't want to happen. We need to protect the Big Bend from Lecanto all the way across to Apalachicola, because in the next 5 years, they're going to be talking about an east-west from Alabama to Jacksonville, you know? So we've got to draw a line in the sand what we want to protect, what we have to protect, what we can't let go into oblivion. We can't lose the Big Bend.
All right, Kevin, thanks a lot. Thanks for your comments.
I just want to agree there on some level and also appreciate that, a hunter is voicing their opinion. And I think that's something we don't hear enough from, or people we don't hear enough from, is the sportsman community, or, you know, the people who hunt and fish. Because, you know, you can't hunt and fish if there's no places left to do that.
And I formerly chaired the Everglades Coalition, so I'm more familiar with the Heartland Parkway. I've been fighting that for 20 years because it was first came up when Jeb Bush was governor. And then when Charlie Crist succeeded him, Charlie Crist said, you know, this isn't a good idea. And he put the proposal on the shelf. So now they're taking it back off the shelf. The same idea, creating this in the same place, that would be create a disaster for the center of the state, for the Everglades, for our rural farms in the center of the state. I don't know. I can just say this is a nightmare.
We're down to the last 2 minutes. Tim, you wanted to add something.
Well, I just, in Pasco, you know, not to break the point, but that area between 52 and 54 on both sides of the Suncoast Parkway is still worth preserving. There's black bear population there. Recently, as 10 years ago, there were eastern indigo snakes sighted, scrub jays, Bachman sparrow. A lot of threatened and imperiled species are in that region, and I believe it's still worth a fight.
How big is the Serra Nova Preserve?
That's, about almost 7,000 acres.
That's a lot of land.
It's contiguous with the Starkey Wilderness, which is another 13, so it's a big chunk of property. And then across the parkway is the Bexley Ranch, which I think he mentioned. The county commission just approved a comprehensive plan amendment to allow for development there. That's another 7,000 acres. There's a bear population in that area. So,
Frank, can folks find out about all this on the Sierra Club website?
That's right. Yeah. So just go to florida.sierraclub.org, and that's our homepage.
Where are you going to be on Earth Day on Monday?
On Monday, I'm going to be at my office because we are going to have a state press conference to talk about what the good, the bad, and the ugly for Florida's environment. And the ugliest thing is this toll road plan. But there are some good things. There's some bad things, some other ugly things. We're going to release a report. Then maybe I'll go to the beach.
And people should pay attention to that. I imagine you'll give us a report card on Governor Ron DeSantis, too.
We will.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, Tim Martin and Frank Giacalone from the Sierra Club, thanks a lot for coming by WMNF.
Thank you for having us.
Guys. Yep. Happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day to you, too. Thank you, Rob.
If you want to comment about today's show, you can call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play your comments back next week, next Monday at 11 o'clock. Janelle Irwin is coming up next with the Midpoint Program. And thanks to Patty Perkey and Frank Knox for being our phone producers today. They were grabbing the phones for us. Thanks for doing it. And thanks to all those people who made contributions online. Janine in New York City, thanks for making a donation to Radioactivity Online. That was really terrific. You can make your contribution by going to WMNF.org and keeping this radio station on the air. This is 88.5 FM. WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg. Here's the latest news from National Public Radio.